Hello everyone. In the previous sessions, we have looked at various other inputs in the agricultural sector. Now we will move to the last form of agricultural input, which is in the form of pesticides. But before we learn about pesticides, we need to understand what are pests and what are the various methodologies of handling these pests. A pest may be described as any organism that competes in any manner with humans, domestic animals, or certain useful plants. Pest can also be defined by the way it injures humans or animals or useful plants or structures and possessions. It spreads diseases, and it also at times annoys or creates disturbances in the normal existence of human and animal life. Now, can any organism be considered as a pest, or are there very specific organisms that act as pests? Let us look at that in much more detail. So, what makes an animal a pest? What makes a plant or any other form of living form a pest? For example, we all know that honeybee is very important for us. It is a beneficial insect which provides honey, which is a major source of nutrition for human beings. But at the same time, we have also looked at our own residential buildings or houses, where if honeycomb is formed by the honeybee, it is immediately burnt out and removed. This is because if honeybees are forming honeycombs near our residences, it may sting humans, harm them, or even annoy with their presence. It becomes very dangerous to live very, very close to honeybees. And hence, in this case, honeybees can be considered as a pest. Similarly, any plant or animal life form which is present where it is not supposed to be, or if it is present in a number which is higher and may cause damage, can be considered as a pest. All our cultivated crops basically are subject to certain kind of attacks from harmful organisms which can be classified as pests. Now, these can be insects, these can be mites, snails, slugs, rats, birds. Crows in certain areas can also be considered as pests. Insects like locusts are pests. In some cases, the pests are microscopic in the form of bacteria and viruses. The basic problem of any of these pests is that they affect either the growth or the yield or both of them. And hence it is important that we understand how do we manage these pests and how do we manage each category of these pests. The way we need to manage viruses or bacteria cannot be used while managing insects. The way you manage mites or snails cannot be used while managing rats. So let us look at the various types of pests and how do we manage these pests. Now, any organism which reaches a pest status, it reaches that status when the numbers increase beyond a threshold level. An insect infestation which causes a loss of less than 5% is not considered to be a pest infestation. The moment the loss percentage increases from 5 to 10%, it is a minor pest, and the moment the losses caused by this particular insect increases or goes above 10%, it is considered as a major pest. So the same locust, if it is creating a 5% loss, cannot be considered as a pest. The moment it comes somewhere in between 5 to 10%, it is a minor pest, and if it is damaging more than 10% of your crop, it is a major pest. So understand that achieving pest status means that the insect or the organism or the bird or the bacteria or virus has to somehow infect more than 5% of your overall crop production. Now let us look at various types of insects. Now insects are predominantly one of the major types of pests that impact our crops. The first type of insect that we come across is a chewing insect. They basically feed on the surface or the outside portions of the plants. They feed on external parts where they bite with certain mouth-like parts on them. They generally feed on the growing budding points. They feed on leaves or leaf margins. They make holes. They scrap the surface. They can also leave large holes on the bark. They can cut into the stem of a plant. They can nibble flowers and nibble or cut off the ear heads. They can also nibble on the grain. Such insects not only damage the plant or the growth of the plant, but it actually damages the crop that is growing. The final seed or cereal or pulse that is growing on the crop is also destroyed by these type of insects. Then there are internal feeders. Now, the chewing insects are basically external feeders. The internal feeders are borers. The borers do not feed on the external side. They bore into the plant surface and seep in from within. There are worms and weevils which infect the roots. Leaf miners or leaf webbers actually create an internal consumption rather than the surface. These internal feeders are much more dangerous since tracking them and tackling them becomes much more difficult compared to the external feeders. There are many more such internal feeding type of insects that we will come across. The third type are piercing or sucking insects. There are aphids, whiteflies, thrips, stinged bugs. They basically remain on the outer side of the plant, pierce through their mouth-like parts and suck the sap out of it. This is a very dangerous thing that can happen to your crop because sucking the sap out of the plant is basically like sucking the blood out of a human body. Not only does the growth or the crop yield gets restricted, the plant can altogether die. In this case, it is a 100% loss for a farmer. Now, certain of these insects inject certain toxins while they are sucking the blood, sucking the sap of the tree or the crop. These toxins infect the internal tissues and damage the plant altogether. The last type of insect that you can come across are the underground insects. They do not attack the upper side of the plant or the crop. They will basically attack the roots. There are many types of such insects that we can come across at various parts of our country. For example, there are grubs or flea beetles, which or some form of wireworms that feed on the roots of the plants and trees and chew them and bore into them and kill the plants. We need to understand that the roots are very important for a plant because if the roots are damaged, the plant will not be able to take in nutrients from the soil or take in water from the soil. And without either of this, the plant is bound to die. Similarly, there are certain ragi root aphids which suck sap from the root plants of ragi plants. They are specifically for the ragi plants and they ensure that the plants die. Sweet potato is attacked or roots of rice is nibbled by certain weevils or grubs. All these type of insects are very, very harming or harmful for the agricultural practice and they will directly lead to certain level of losses or 100% crop loss in several cases. There are certain damages. Until now we were talking about the damage from insects on or pests on the field. But what about storage? Many a times a healthy crop can be stored in an unhealthy place and that may also result in damage. There is a moth called the potato tuber moth which affects or damages potatoes which are stored. Sweet potatoes are damaged by sweet potato weevils. Red gram seed is damaged by brookid beetles. Rice in a godown can be damaged by rice weevils or flour moths or fleas or small type of pests which enter. Now, this can be prevented if the godown is well maintained, if the storage area is well maintained. So when we are looking at pests and pest attacks, it is important for us to understand that pests do not attack just on the field. There is every probability that even post-harvest, the crop can be attacked by pests. And in several times, most of the crop losses happen in the storage area. Now, losses that are incurred because of pest infestations in agriculture is pretty high. Insects or pests which creates diseases, weeds, are some of the major constraints that are limiting our agricultural growth and productivity. Insects are almost destructing or destroying 26% of the potential food production that this country holds. Another bigger problem that we have been using pesticides and insecticides in our fields that has been giving bad results. Not only are they harming the crop, but they are also harming the environment and the people around them. A very brutal example that comes to my mind right now is that of endosulfan, which is used on the rubber trees in Kerala. Kerala government and the Indian government altogether had to ban the usage of endosulfan as it was creating genetic anomalies in children who were being born in the area where endosulfan was being sprinkled. As endosulfan was supposed to be sprinkled on the top of the rubber trees, which were tall enough, it was air sprinkled by usage of helicopter or smaller aeroplanes. It settled on human bodies, seeped through the skin, and affected the DNA of human beings who were exposed to it. So in these cases, it is not always advisable to use insecticides. Another problem is that several of these insects or pests have become resistant to these chemicals. Overexposure of these chemicals have led them to mutate themselves into a resistant strain for insecticides. They have been evolving and adapting to the changes in the surroundings. At times, there is a primary pest outbreak which is tackled, and immediately a secondary pest outbreak happens. There are resurgences in several areas. All of these factors are actually creating a lot of problems for agricultural productivity, and it is also increasing the cost of plant protection for farmers. Now, let us look at a few figures if we have to look at the losses that we are incurring due to insects or pests in our agricultural section. 25% loss in the rice crop happens because of pest, whereas wheat loses 5 to 10% annually. There is a loss of 30% in pulses, 35% in oil seeds, 20% in sugarcane, and 50% in cotton. Now, all these crops that are listed here are high value generating crops for the farmers. And in all these cases, the losses are humongous. Especially for crops like sugarcane and cotton, the investment for these crops to be planted and sown and grown on the field is very high. They are high maintenance. And if there is a pest infestation on these crops, the cost for the farmer goes even higher. The total crop loss of India due to pests or insects is estimated to be around 9,000 crores. No wonder we have a food security problem in this country. The other form of losses that we incur are basically we have 33% from weeds, 26% from diseases. Insects contribute to 20% of the losses. Nematodes, storage, and rodents are the remaining 21% odd. Now, if we look at these loss figures here, we can understand one thing, that if we know how to manage these pests in our country, we will be able to solve the yield issue and the food security problem and requirement of food in the country. But at the same time, we need to look at sustainable methodologies for pest control and management. We cannot have rampant usage of insecticides. We cannot have rampant usage of non-healthy chemicals in the market, which will impact not only the crops and its quality, but it will also impact the human beings who are living in these surroundings. Now let's look at certain methods in which pests are managed in the agricultural sector. Now, the basic solution for all pest infestation is not necessarily pesticide sprinkling. There are many such methods that the farmers are currently practicing. There are several methods that are emerging. Let's look into a few of them. There is the first method, which is the prophylactic method. Now here, the basic steps are basically field and plant sanitization. We ensure that the requisite amount of pesticide or insecticide is used on the field before or after the harvest. Proper cultural methods are adopted. Pest resistant varieties are grown on the field. Because of biotechnological advancements, we have got, or rather hybrid seed making variety processes, we have got several varieties of a particular crop that are resistant to certain pests. We can do seed treatment before they are sown into the field. We can do swabbing of tree trunks to ensure that there are no pests seeping into the trees. Manure pits need frequent maintenance. Drying of harvested produce is very important, because if there are more moisture content, it will attract more pests. At times, we need to dry the soil on which the crop is being sown. So there are many, many such methods that can be used under the prophylactic method. The next method are basically cultural methods. These are basically certain cultural practices in agriculture that can be followed to ensure that pest management is done in the optimal manner. So appropriate usage of intercultural practices in crop cultivation can actually help to suppress pest breeding in the field. So it basically avoids exposure to vulnerable stages of the crops. There are certain obligate parasites which specifically affect a particular type of crop to ensure that its growth stage or its particular growing stage is taken care of. When we use intercultural methods, such exposures to disastrous pests can be avoided. The pest population can also be avoided by ensuring that specific intercultural methods are formed and they are practiced on the field. A few cultural methods that farmers can adopt are basically crop rotation, using multiple types of crops on the field every season. We do not grow the same type of crop so that the insects or the pests which are attracted to that crop propagate in the soil beyond a proper threshold level and become a major problem. So if we are, say, growing sweet potato in one season, we can immediately switch to some other vegetable so that the sweet potato weevil in the soil does not get the same source of nutrition for itself and it withers off. Similarly, we can do mixed cropping, where we in the same field are growing multiple different types of crops. If there are dried twigs, they need to be pruned. If there are, the rice saplings are generally on the field, rice nurseries are flooded with water. Otherwise, there are certain ticks or certain insects that attack the roots and the leaves of the rice sapling. Sometimes one of the best methods that people use is burning of the infected area or the infected crop part. Sometimes they dry the soil to such a level that hairline or hair dry cracks appear on the soil, which ensures that the sun's heat travels downward inside the soil, heats up the soil, and ensures that the insects or pests present in that soil either dies or moves away from that field. All of these practices are natural methods. They are no artificial methods. They are actual natural methods of ensuring that the pests are removed from the land. There are some mechanical methods. So obviously the mechanical method would be collecting and destroying the pest, hard netting or bag netting so that the pests get trapped in those nets, cutting or burning the infested part of the crop, that can be a portion. Sometimes, for example, in terms of borers, if there are borers in your tree trunk, you can use hooks to remove these borers out. At times, passing a rope through a field also captures certain pests. So in certain cases like worms or, you know, certain beetles get trapped in the weaving of a rope if they are passed through the crop. Trenches can be dug around the field in several areas just to ensure that pests or rodents do not enter the field. Trenches are dug and it is filled with water. We can also use certain other traps, or like fish meal traps or light traps or bonfires and other methods. These are mechanical, non-natural methods. Now, every method has its own pros and cons. For example, the cultural method that we saw in the previous slide can not necessarily be 100% effective if the soil quality is not that great, or if there are other climatic conditions which are impacting the pest presence. This is also a very slower method of pest management. Whereas the mechanical methods are far more instant, but at the same time, they are a little brutal towards the crop and the soil. So while we are also extracting the pest from the crop, we may also cause damage to the crop through these mechanical methods. There is another method of tackling with pests, which is called as the biological methods. This kind of method is fairly recent in the agricultural industry as compared to the other methods. Here, what we basically do is that we use biological control of a particular for taming a particular pest or controlling the number of pests. This comes from a belief that if we remove a particular organism from its soil ecosystem completely, it may tilt the balance and lead to some unwanted consequences as far as the soil quality goes. So here, just to check in the population or ensure that the population of the pest is controlled, an organism which is an enemy, a natural enemy to the pest, is introduced in the field. Now, this organism can be another worm or insect. It can be a bacteria or a virus. It can be another animal, like a mammal. Now, when these organisms should be introduced and how they should be introduced is something that a farmer needs to think through very, very thoroughly. There should be a control program here, and this entire process should be monitored at a very, very specific level to ensure that the organism that is being introduced into the field does not become the pest. In some cases, there have been instances where an organism which is introduced in the field to control a pest has actually become a pest for the farmer. Hence, the biological methods, though effective, has its own cons in terms of creating problem for the crops in unprecedented ways. So what do we do in these biological methods? Either we, for example, we use certain specific parasites for the black-headed caterpillar that affects the coconut. We use predators for cottony cushion scales that affects the cotton crop. We use bacteria to control caterpillars, viruses to control certain other type of caterpillars. Sometimes fungi, a fungus, is introduced into the field to control certain types of parasites. Sometimes if there is pest infestation like a rat, a natural enemy of the rat is introduced, for example, a cat or a mongoose or some other form of animal. By introducing them, what we are basically trying to do is keep their population in check. A very different example, not from an agricultural standpoint, is that of the introduction of wolves in the Yellowstone National Park in US, which saved the forest. There was a time when the wolf population was killing a large amount of deer and antelopes in the field, in the forest. So the wolves were removed and sent to some other forest, some other natural reserve. over time, they observed that the Yellowstone National Park was actually losing its greenery because the deer and antelope population was unchecked. They increased in such numbers that they started eating vegetation and left the land barren. In this case, the deer and antelopes became the pest. So in order to get the population back in control, they reintroduced the wolves into the Yellowstone National Park. And again, within a few years, the forest gained all its greenery because the deer and antelope population reduced because of constant hunting from the wolves. This is a biological method of pest management, but this is from a forestry point of view. A similar attitude or action can be taken in the field of agriculture also. Biopesticides is another area of pest management that is being explored right now. Like I told you from an earlier example of Kerala and the usage of endosulfan, chemical pesticides are poisonous products. If it can harm another life, it can definitely harm a human life. It may not necessarily kill us, but it may also give us some adverse effects. Chemical pesticides can also impact the environment and the ecosystem of that place in adverse manner. If fertilizer seepage into underground water can create problems in our health, we can only imagine what the chemical pesticides seeping into underground water will do to us. And also, if the pesticide usage, the chemical pesticide usage is unchecked, if it is indiscriminate, it will lead to multiple problems. And it is because of this indiscriminate usage of chemical pesticides, the various varieties of insects and worm-like pesticides have become immune to the chemical pesticides. And hence, the introduction of biopesticides has come into picture. Nowadays, started using biological products like certain parasites or predators or bacteria or fungi to use it. One of the most commonly used natural biopesticide is the neem. The neem, scientific name of Azadirachta indica, has a chemical called azadirachtin. This chemical is a natural insect repellent. It repels most insects from its core area. An example that comes into our mind is certain rural pockets of the Gujarat-Maharashtra border where chili was being produced in large numbers suffered a severe virus infection in one of the seasons, and there was lacks of crop of the of chili which was destroyed by the pest or the virus. A simple solution that was found was mixing up milk and turmeric and spraying it on the crop. And at alternate intervals, neem infused water was sprinkled on the same crop. With this, the virus was tackled. And at the same time, harmful chemicals entering into the field was also avoided. Now, like neem, there are several other plants which can act as natural insecticides, neem being one of the most effective biopesticides that we can come across today. Neem, in fact, is also used in storage of grains. In our households, it is a general practice that if we have a gunny bag which is full of rice, a few neem leaves are introduced into the gunny bag just to ensure that the mites do not survive in the bag. Now, let us delve a little more detailed into the biological control aspect of managing pests. Now, the biological control is nothing but a form of internal manipulation of natural enemies of a particular type of pest. The human beings in the area deliberately introduce a natural enemy of a particular pest into that atmosphere and try to bring the population under control. It's a very attractive method because plants are extremely important for us, wildlife is important for us, human health is important for us, and biological methods do not introduce any form of chemical pollutant into the system. It does not damage the crop as it would have been damaged through a mechanical process. it is not a very, very slow process like normal cultural processes that we follow. But at the same time, it safeguards the crop, takes care of the pest, and does not impact the human beings in any manner. There are three types of biological control that can come into picture. One is conservation, where we are conserving specific type of crop and we are controlling the population of the pests that are affecting the crop. Then there is augmentation, which basically is adding to the immunity of the crop and ensuring that it is resistant to the pest in the field. And the third part is importation. Now, the thing about biological control is that, first of all, it is inexpensive. There is no major chemical component being purchased. We just have to introduce a natural enemy into the field. It poses little threat to the other organisms, including human beings, in that ecosystem, which are not related or not a target organism for that particular natural enemy. The manpower required is very low. You can actually introduce the enemy into the field and it propagates itself and starts affecting the pest. Since they are self-perpetuating, they can spread on their own. You don't need to put in extra efforts to ensure that they are happening. There are several advantages of biological control. The biological agents being self-propagating requires minimum effort. It's a cheap method. It does not involve a lot of money investments. The technique is very selective and does not have any form of side effect towards the crop or any other living organism in that area. And development of resistance of the pests towards biological control is very unlikely. You cannot say that a snake will develop resistance to a mongoose. You cannot say that a rat will develop resistance to a cat. It's the natural order. Unlike chemical pesticides, biological methods will not affect the basic genetic makeup and will not affect the adaptability side of a pest. If it is a natural enemy, it has to kill or target that particular pest. And the pest will not be able to develop any form of immunity towards the biological agents that are being introduced. This is one of the biggest advantages of biological control in pest management. There are, though, a few limitations in the biological control mechanism. First of all, it acts considerably slow in comparison to the mechanical ways of pest control. Biological control takes some time, since the organism that is introduced as a controlling agent takes time to propagate itself. It also limits the subsequent use of pesticide. You may not necessarily want to use the same kind of control over and over again, or it may continue to become a problem. One of the major limitations of biological control, which also is a positive side for several experts in the field, is that the biological control mechanisms do not act as exterminators. An exterminator basically kills the weed or the pest right to its root. It does not allow a single organism from the pest category to survive in that specific geographic area. That is what an exterminator is. A biological control mechanism does not act as an exterminator. It basically helps in controlling the population of the pest to a particular limit. Now, this can be considered as a limitation, but at times this is also a positive side. There are several experts who believe that if we completely exterminate the pest from their natural environment, it may tilt or shift the ecological balance of that area. And it may actually adversely affect the soil quality. Hence, biological control, though it's not an exterminator, this factor can actually impact the soil quality, the ecosystem of that area in a long run. Now, the best method that is coming out today in these recent times of agriculture is the IPM method, or the Integrated Pest Management Method. The FAO has defined IPM in a specific manner. It says that a pest management system in the context of associated environment and population dynamics of the pest species utilizing all suitable techniques and methods in a compatible manner as possible, and maintaining pest population at a level below causing unacceptable damage or loss. Now, obviously, there is a lot of words going around here, but what we need to understand is that it is a pest management system. It is not a pest management method. Up until now, we were looking at various pest management methods. Integrated pest management is an amalgamation of multiple methods and formation of a system that creates a pest management. It takes into consideration the environment, the population dynamics of the pest, and it utilizes appropriate techniques in a very compatible manner as far as the crop and the soil and the farmer's requirement is concerned. And it maintains population of the pest at a level which is acceptable, and it does not cause any damage or loss to the farmer. Now, IPM basically seeks to use two or more alternative methods to control pests with a goal of obtaining effective control with a minimum dependence on pesticides. So the end goal of IPM here is that we should use pesticides to the minimum possible extent. We employ two or more alternative methods that we saw in the previous slides. If we combine two or more methods and we try to use that in a particular field to control the pests with minimum usage of pesticides, we are actually implementing the IPM system. Now, IPM is an ecologically based strategy that focuses on a long-term solution of the pest. It does not look at an immediate seasonal solution. It looks at the pest management solution from a long-term perspective, that maybe a year or two of pest infestation is taken care of by implementation of pest management system. It can use techniques like biological control, which we just saw. It can use techniques like habitat manipulation. For example, in certain areas, if neem trees are just planted in that area, it kind of repels a lot of insects and worms and other kind of parasites and pests. So the habitat in which the crop is being grown is manipulated. There can be modifications in agronomic practices. Like I just gave you an example of the chili farmers in rural areas of the borderline Maharashtra-Gujarat section, where they kind of modified their agronomic practice of spraying their crop with milk and turmeric mixture or neem mixture. By following this agronomic practice, they actually reduced the virus infection which affected their chili crop. And another important methodology that can be used under IPM is using resistant varieties. Now imagine combining one or two, or rather two or more of these methods in one area. Imagine combining them in a section where we are using biological control, but at the same time, we are also using resistant strains or resistant varieties of crops in our field. We are also manipulating the habitat around them. So we are tackling the same type of pests, or maybe multiple type of pests, with multiple multivarious solutions in that same geographical location. Now, implementing an IPM system is very difficult if you do not have the right information. It's an information intensive methodology, and it depends on several information points that you need to provide or you need to collate before you actually go in for an integrated pest management system. The basic information that they need is a regular scouting of the crop, records of what kind of pests have been observed, comparing the pest numbers to a particular established threshold, and determine if treatment is needed or not. Unnecessarily implementing IPM for a pest level or for an organism's population level which is not even considered to be a pest will be unnecessary wastage of resources. All these tests need to have results which are evaluated, and records are kept for historic and future usage. Now, all of this information is something that the farmer, the village level agricultural authorities, the district level agricultural authorities, and the state level agricultural authorities need to always have with them. This is important so that the integrated pest management system is a successful application for that particular field or that particular group of farmers who want to implement that in their fields. The ultimate objective of IPM is first to reduce the management cost for the farmers. Like we discussed in the previous slide, if we are looking at pest management, there are many factors that are affecting the cost of pest management. And these costs will basically eat up into the profit that the farmer will earn by selling the crops. And hence, the idea of IPM is to reduce management cost. It also aims at minimizing environmental pollution because the focus is not on using pesticides, the focus is on minimizing the pesticide usage. And it also looks at maintaining an ecological balance with minimum disturbance to the ecosystem. It aims at a holistic level protection and the pest management at the same time. So it is not disturbing the ecosystem, it is not harming the other organisms in that ecosystem, but there is a specific organism that needs to be tackled and its population needs to be brought down, and IPM can focus on that. Now, why should we basically use IPM? I think we've already explained this part. Why should we use it? First of all, there are pests which have already built resistance to certain pesticides because they have been used incessantly without any kind of control or any kind of restraint. The IPM system kind of extends the useful life of pesticides by reducing their usage. It does not give the pests a chance to adapt to that particular pesticide and develop themselves an immunity towards that pest. Now, most pesticides are poisonous and they are a potential health risk for all of us who are living in that particular locality. IPM, through reduced usage of this particular pesticide, ensures that not only is the health of the farmer taken care of, but the health of the soil, the crop, and the people who are going to consume these crops in future, they are also taken care of. By reducing the dependence on pesticides, we are reducing the risk that we are putting ourselves and the environment in. Thank you so much.